Welcome into the Ether, a podcast focusing on all things Ethereum, the leading blockchain for decentralized applications. I'm Eric Connor, your host and founder of ETHHub, a decentralized information hub for Ethereum. Into the Ether features deep dives on topics with prominent guests in the community, as well as ETHHub weekly recaps featuring Anthony Sisano. Hello, everyone, and welcome into the Ether. Today, I have Kevin Owaki on the podcast. Kevin is an Ethereum community legend and founder of Gitcoin. Gitcoin is a platform which helps to incentivize and monetize work in the open source community. Thanks for joining me today, Kevin.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, definitely. So before we kind of dive into Gitcoin, which we're going to get into, I first want to talk a little bit about, you know, the project and your history. I always like to first ask guests how they got involved in crypto and in Ethereum in general. So kind of what's your story?
Yeah, so bought my first Bitcoin in 2011, and it was like $35. I bought it on Coinbase. And back then, I thought it was kind of a toy and didn't realize that how big it could be. And I basically forgot about it for a little while until in 2015, I was working at a startup here in Boulder, Colorado, and working with Piper Merriam, who's now also deep in the Ethereum community. At the time, we were working at a clean tech startup, and he kept on talking about the Ethereum white paper and the Ethereum crowd sale and the possibilities of smart contract and code that's running on immutable blockchains. And again, didn't take it too seriously until I started poking around the r Ethereum subreddit and started to see some of the launches around Augur and some of the early Ethereum projects. And that's what really got me excited about Ethereum. And here we are today. I'm the founder of one of the most used apps in the Ethereum space. So it's been quite a journey.
Nice. That's cool to hear. 2011, you might have all the guests beat so far. That's definitely impressively early.
Yeah. I mean, I think that my cocktail party anecdote is that I was smart enough to buy in 2011, but not smart enough to hold. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah. I bought some Bitcoin in 2013, but pretty much ended up trading it away, not knowing what I was doing at the time. So kind of a typical story, I feel like.
Yeah. Trading is a bad habit. And I think I've nipped it in the bud, but, you know, we'll see what happens in the next bull market, whether I can contain the itch to trade.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's a good background on kind of how you got involved. So, you know, where did the idea of Gitcoin then come about? Did you kind of imagine this idea before even knowing about Ethereum?
No, it was definitely one of those ideas that came about because of, it was actually the Ethereum bull market that was when I put together Gitcoin. And I've always, some background of me that we haven't really covered yet is that I've been an entrepreneur in the startup space for about 12 years. I went through Techstars when I was 22, didn't know anything, but they made me into a CTO of a consumer web startup and learned a lot about what not to do through a series of failed and semi-successful startups, but always am sort of iterating towards the next idea and the next thing I want to do. I when I started getting more serious about emerging technology, I started a machine learning startup. I started a virtual reality startup, and then I created a couple of blockchain projects. I was working on a distributed cryptocurrency trading robot that used machine learning, and that was called PyTrader. It's still my most popular GitHub repo somehow. I started to launch a crypto hedge fund with a couple friends. I actually built a WordPress plugin called AdBlock to Bitcoin back in the day. And it was a project that allowed you to basically, if you're a publisher, you lose a lot of ad space to AdBlock, a lot of revenue. And it allowed you to put a Bitcoin QR code solicitation in the AdBlocked ad space on your web property. And I remember thinking, well, this is a way to just increase the amount of revenue that publishers are making. But it turned out no one ever did microtransactions and like tips for publishers. But I did get an article in Wired.com about that, which was like the only upside to that project that I ended up realizing. But anyway, this is a long way of saying that I've just been sort of a serial hacker and entrepreneur, and Gitcoin was just one of the projects that I started that built in my basement with my gains from the 2017 Ethereum bull market, and lucky enough got connected to Joe Lubin and flew out to New York and pitched him. And just so happened that it was a project that had enough legs that I could go full time working on it. So I think it's the lesson there for any people who want to start projects is start small and build things, and you never know what's going to take off.
Yeah, that's awesome. It always takes a couple of trials, right, of kind of hacking things together or starting startups or projects, and then something eventually takes off. So definitely agree with that notion, is kind of stick with it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so I think that's a good, really good transition into kind of from your background and the history of Gitcoin into what you're building today. And I know, you know, Gitcoin now has a couple of different products, I would put it, or at least different aspects to it. And I want to start with kind of the core Gitcoin product first. But, you know, I think it's even more important to kind of step back even further from that and talk about the mission that you set out to accomplish at Gitcoin. So can you kind of talk us through that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. I could talk about the mission all day, every day, and my wife will kick me out of the house if I talk about it too much at home. So the Gitcoin's mission is to grow and sustain open source software. So it was born out of an insight that open source software creates billions of dollars of economic value for the world, and software developers that look like me and sound like me don't have a way of realizing that value that they're creating for free. And so there's a real problem in that we all use open source software and it's our 21st century economic infrastructure, but there's no way for the people who are actually building the infrastructure to get compensated for their work. And so the sort of like abstract reason why Gitcoin was going to work when I built it in my basement in 2017 was, well, we have programmable money, and if we value open source software, then we can program our values into our money, and we can right that wrong. That's still, I think, true in a lot of ways, but I think that the real tangible reason why Gitcoin works is because there's actually money to fund open source software in these blockchain ecosystems. So basically, you've got billions of dollars of market capitalization, and everyone's competing for the same set of developers that are going to build the next ETH 2.0 or the next big project. And so all the money that used to go to some back office on Wall Street in the old financial ecosystem is going to open source software in the new ecosystem. And I just think that's the killer reason why the time is now for Gitcoin.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we'll dive a little further into that and then bring that a step further with your grants program as well. But, you know, I think it's a perfect fit for Ethereum. I mean, obviously, you've got all this money, you have programmable money. How can we kind of use that to push the open source products further? So, you know, in talking about that, can you just kind of walk us through the workflow and exactly kind of how your core product works at Gitcoin?
Yeah, sure. So as you noted, there's a couple different products that are available on Gitcoin. The one that we launched with was bounties. And so basically, the way it works is that if you have an open source software repository and you want some feature built on top of it or some bug fixed on it, and you don't have the time or skills to do it, what you can do is you can paste that GitHub issue URL into Gitcoin, and you can add some Ether or ERC20 tokens to that GitHub issue that will be paid out when someone turns around that feature request or that bug fix. And so it's a way of incentivizing software development and open source. We like to think that GitHub is a very, very good collaboration layer for software development, and we just want to build an incentivization layer on top of GitHub. And so that's the first project that we launched with. It's called Bounties, and we've done about $750,000 in the last year of bounties with some of the top projects in the space. The Ethereum Foundation, MetaMask, Gnosis have all used us to source software developers to work on their projects.
Wow, that's a lot. That's more than I even was aware of, to be honest. So that's pretty awesome to hear. And talking about the bounties, I talked with the Bounties Network team about two episodes ago. Is it right that you're leveraging their platform to integrate the bounties on Gitcoin?
Yeah. So Mark and Simona and the other members of the Bounties Network teams they're our sister company, and we love them a lot. They built something called Standard Bounties, which is just what it sounds like. It's a standard for bounties on Ethereum. And they have a security audited open source smart contract that is aiming to be the standard for doing bounties on Ethereum. And so the vision there is to have one common fat protocol that contains all of the bounties that that anyone wants to do in the Ethereum ecosystem. And Gitcoin is sort of just the first vertical that's launched on top of the bounties network for a very specific use case of open source software. But eventually we see the bounties network launching a network for design bounties and translation bounties, and basically anything that you can capture as in the scope of a task could be a bounty on the bounties network one day. And our projects are pretty complementary because the bounties network is sort of breadth first, focused on bounties and arbitration and pricing on top of just like this distributed bounties layer. And then Gitcoin's really depth first, focused on open source software and the community around open source software. So it's been a pretty successful partnership, and I hope that it remains so into the future.
That's great. Yeah, I really like their team and what they're doing. And even more importantly, it's nice to see teams leveraging what other teams have built, because kind of in the end, that's kind of the point of all this stuff we're building on Ethereum, right? Be able to use what others have built and kind of, you know, layer on top of these platforms that are being put out there.
Yeah, for sure.
So on the adoption side, I want to talk a little bit about this. And can we kind of start with how to, so you said you kind of put this together at the end of 2017. And, you know, so it's been live for over a year now. How has the adoption of the platform been in your mind? You mentioned that you're at about $750,000. Is that kind of faster or slower than you expected?
Yeah. So I will say that all of our metrics are transparent and available for your listeners to check out at gitcoin.co/results. And the reason why we did that was that people would come to our landing page and they would read about our mission and they would watch our video and they'd think, wow, this looks really cool, but does it actually work? I know it's a blockchain product and I've heard that blockchain products are all vaporware. And so what we did was we launched gitcoin.co/results, which shows the average start time for a bounty is 6 hours. The average turnaround time is within 11 days. The amount of work that we've done on the platform is over $750,000. And so that was our way of differentiated from other blockchain projects that were just vaporware to show them that we actually have adoption and there's people actually in this community. So that aside, that's where we are now. When we first launched Gitcoin in the summer of 2017, it was just me and my friends using it, and I didn't really have any money, so the bounties were not all that respectable in terms of their value. But I flew out to New York and pitched Joe Lubin and joined Consensus, and that was just the perfect marriage because Joe not only has 50 of some of the best projects in the Ethereum space in his portfolio, it was a safe place for us to test and actually get adoption for the product, but he also provided intros to some of the top projects in the space, you know, the Ethereum Foundation, MyCrypto, a bunch of other people that have used the Gitcoin product. And so he really catapulted us into the Ethereum community. And I think that we were super lucky to have him as an investor and the relationships there. And so for that reason, the adoption has been, I think, stronger than I could have done by myself. But there's definitely been some unforeseen obstacles. And you know, I won't sugarcoat it for your listeners, Eric. I think that basically software development is a pretty abstract thing. And when you think about the gig economy or dynamic workforce assembly, another popular use case that I like to compare Gitcoin to is Uber. So if you tap a button and you get a driver, then basically if they take you from A to B safely and quickly and their car doesn't smell and they're not a creep, you're going to give them 5 stars. But with software development, if you tap a button and get a coder, then you're inherently working on something that's way more abstract than just a ride from A to B. I mean, you could tell a developer that you want X and they'll deliver X prime, and then you'll see it and you'll say, oh, well, I really wanted X, but also now that I think about it, can you give me X sub Y? And so there's this and developers are not good communicators to start with. So there's this sort of like negotiation that happens on every bounty around where the scope starts and ends. And I think that that's been one area that we're still trying to build into the product, the right features to manage that sort of abstractness of how Gitcoin works. And in that respect, adoption has been a little bit more touch and go than I would like. But I think that once we solve that, then we're going to have then it's going to unlock the next level of growth for us.
Yeah, definitely. That's interesting you say that, because I was kind of thinking about that actually earlier today when I was kind of putting together the questions for this talk. I mean, even if you go out on, say, like Fiverr, you have a very kind of basic bounty or freelance work outside of the crypto space now, you know, let's say it's just a logo, right? There's a lot of like iteration and back and forth. And I talk with the bounties team of how do you kind of judge when this work's done and you say, okay, hey, that's good. And I want to sign off of it and send the bounty to you. So that's interesting to hear you bring it up. What are some of the ways that you guys have brainstormed to kind of solve this problem? I mean, I guess just thinking off the top of my head, maybe kind of more clear cut milestones in it would help, but I don't know how have you guys been thinking about that?
Yeah, I mean, it really comes down to project management skills. And I think that, you know, building in buffer time for a certain amount of revisions for your project, especially if it's something that's front end and you don't like front end stuff is basically very aesthetically important, and you can't really quantitatively say that, like with a back-end bounty, you can say, oh, all the tests must pass. But with a front-end thing, it's more about qualitative acceptance criteria. And so building in revisions into the bounty scope is important. Pricing the bounty in a way that's respectable for the bounty hunter, I think helps a lot. The bounty hunters will take it more seriously if you price it correctly. And we've got a whole data-driven analysis about how to price your bounties. If anyone's interested in checking that out, they should. It's on the Gitcoin Medium. And then I also think that just keeping 10% of the bounty in your back pocket to tip someone who's done really good work is a really nice gesture that's going to help you build a relationship over time. So I think that that's something that you as a bounty funder can do. Things that Gitcoin is looking to do is basically build reputation into the platform such that you can look for contributors who are going to be good communicators and are fast and efficient and will contribute a lot of value in a way that's quantified in their reputation. And so I think that these are all fronts that we're pressing on in order to solve that problem. And at the end of the day, you got to remember that software development is art, and sometimes you're not going to be able to solve all those problems for every permutation of relationship that happens on the platform. But the important thing about Gitcoin is that you're only spending a couple $100 per bounty. And so the upside is tremendous. Maybe you'll meet a contributor that you love working with and you're going to go full time with, and the downside is not that much. You know, if it doesn't work out, then you can pay someone a portion of their bounty and move on to the next bounty hunter. And so it's that value of sending a lot of contributors to your repo, that fire hose of talent that you can quickly sort through, that is the big value add of Gitcoin. I think not any one relationship, it's the summation of the candidate flow that we give you that's the big value add.
Nice. Yeah. I think the idea of reputation and being able to see, you know, someone's past work and how they communicated and how their work was, I think that's going to be extremely important for you guys. That's definitely cool to hear. And on the adoption front, you know, just in kind of thinking about all, you know, Ethereum applications that are out there now, a lot kind of, you know, they're growing fast, but at the same time, I'm not sure how many like outside users to crypto we're gaining. What are you seeing on the Gitcoin front? People that are either putting up bounties, or I guess you kind of have two customers, people that are putting up bounties for work and people that are actually fulfilling the bounties and submitting the code. Are you seeing a lot of those people, they're already in the crypto space, or are you kind of seeing people from the outside getting interested in this?
Yeah, I mean, and there's an interesting trend with Gitcoin where some of our coders, their first interaction with crypto has been through Gitcoin. And so in that sense, we're driving MetaMask installs and we're driving adoption of crypto. And I'm super humbled to be playing that role on the coder side of the market. The funder side of the market, we haven't seen that so much. And that's just by virtue of people are paying for bounties in ETH. And so by definition, they already have ETH or DAI is another popular token on the platform. I think that in that sense we are driving some adoption of Ethereum and MetaMask, but I don't have exact numbers of how many people have actually had crypto before they came to Gitcoin.
Yeah, to me, this is kind of, in my opinion, one of those projects that'll probably open up Ethereum to people that haven't seen it before. I mean, just the concept of Gitcoin is familiar to, you know, millions upon millions of people. And then I'm sure a lot of people are thinking, hey, how could I get paid for this skill set that I have. And I'm sure as your product grows and potentially gets more integrated into Gitcoin someday or something like that, that's going to really help be a gateway, in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure. And I also think that, you know, if you want to think about adoption, the place to start is with software engineers. At least at this stage of the game, we're so early in blockchain, and blockchain's in a lot of ways really hard to use for a lot of people. And so you want to start with an audience that's sophisticated enough to install a browser extension to back up their seed phrase and to understand that MetaMask is injecting Web3. Or if they don't understand it, then at least being able to interact in such a way that they can do it. And one of the ways that we're actually easing adoption of the Gitcoin platform is by running a mainnet ETH faucet. So basically, if you do some work on Gitcoin and you need to submit your work to the platform, you actually have to do an on-chain transaction and to do that, at least with the existing version of standard bounties. And so what we've done is we have a mainnet faucet at gitcoin.co/faucet, where we'll give you your first 0.001 ETH in order for you to make that first transaction. And so just smoothing the way from being a non-user of crypto to being a user of crypto is hopefully going to increase adoption of Gitcoin, but also in the Ethereum space writ large.
Yeah, that's nice. I mean, that takes away, for someone that doesn't have crypto yet, that takes away, you know, 5 unnecessary steps. So you guys have a plethora of tools hiding. I just ran across your gas page the other day. I think it said it was an alpha, but somehow I had never seen that before. But I feel like you guys have like a grab bag of items out there that are awesome. I haven't seen some of them before.
Yeah, thanks. I'm glad you think that they're awesome, because the cool thing about Gitcoin's bounties product is that we can do more faster than almost any other team in the space, because we have funding, the mechanics to deploy tasks to the crowd, and we also have 20,000 software developers in our community. So if we have an idea for like the Gitcoin gas station, which is a tool that allows you to visualize trends in the gas in gas usage on the Ethereum network, then I can just write up a spec for it and attach one ether to that bounty, and it gets 90% done before I even have to look at it. And so for that reason, we've been able to develop these tools that we use to dog food different parts of the ecosystem in a way that's faster and cheaper than anyone else can. So I think that we've been able to iterate really quickly because we're not just a team of half a dozen software engineers. We're a team of a half a dozen software engineers that has a vision and a community of 20,000 that's able to help us deliver on that vision. So it's been fun to build some of those tools. You can actually go to gitcoin.co/tools and see all the different stuff that we've built. The Gitcoin gas station is the one that you called out, which is basically a tool that you can use to see what the gas trends are in the Ethereum mainnet. We also have an ENS subdomain tool. So if you're a GitHub user, you can register your GitHub username .gitcoin.eth as an ENS subdomain. And there's no like complicated bid reveal process like there is with the ENS tool. You can just do it with one click with Gitcoin. And we've got a bunch of tools that we've built and open sourced on gitcoin.co/tools. So I'd encourage your listeners to go check out that page.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of cool stuff there. I definitely suggest going to check that tools page out. You know, one thing, I guess you were talking about what people are building on Gitcoin a little bit. You mentioned teams like MetaMask. What are these teams really using Gitcoin for? So obviously like MetaMask has a team of 4 or 5, right? Like to you, why are they going out to Gitcoin and putting bounties out there? Is it for work maybe they don't have the specialty in-house for, or to them it's just a better option for a little feature they want to build? Or kind of what are you seeing as far as that goes?
Yeah, I mean, it's the scope of Gitcoin is anything that a software developer can do. So that can be a feature request, that can be a bug bounty, that can be documentation. We actually, Andreas Anopoulos just released his Mastering Ethereum book, and I was talking to him a little bit at ETH Denver this year, and I was like, hey, do you remember there was a couple Gitcoin bounties on your book? And he's like, oh yeah, you wrote chapter 3 or something like that. And it was just cool to this, like one of these like industry luminaries had actually had value added to his project from Gitcoin. Some of the bounties that I've done that we're most proud of is the MetaMask team had some sort of bug that their users were reporting. And remember, they have millions of users. And so, and the bounty in their product is really important because it stores users' funds on device, right? So you don't want to have a bug in code that is managing the seed phrase. And they had some sort of bug that they couldn't reproduce with like seed phrase exports or something like that. And they just put a bounty on it on Gitcoin because they couldn't reproduce it. And a Gitcoin user was able to figure out the reproduction steps and give them back to them, which I think I'm super proud of that just because it's such a really important bug. And also because MetaMask is one of the first projects in the space that I used. But yeah, other than that, Decentraland has put up bounties to have users test out their new SDKs. And I think they put up 7 of them and 6 were turned around. And the last project that I'll talk about is the Ethereum Foundation themselves has used Gitcoin to accelerate Ethereum 2.0 development. So we've got a $100,000 grant from them to spend on software development across a plethora of Ethereum 2.0 repos. And I'm super happy to say that we've actually placed a full-time team member who's working on one of the Ethereum Foundation teams. And so, you know, that was a guy who was working on Gitcoin bounties from Prince Edward Island up in Canada and never had any access to the Ethereum Foundation before that. But he was a really good software developer and they ended up working together full time after the bounties they did on Gitcoin. And it's another example of Ethereum Foundation is obviously at the eye of the storm with the crypto space and super happy to see that we could add some value back to that project.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, the possibilities are definitely endless. And you mentioned dog fooding. I mean, we try to do that a lot at ETHUB, is use the tools that the community is putting out there, right? So we've got a lot of generous donations in for ETHUB since we launched and launched our donation address. So we're going to use a majority of those funds to do bounties, actually, for content. So we'll be using Gitcoin for sure to, you know, put out bounties, whatever it might be, say 20, 25 bucks for a page we want written. And once that's fulfilled and submitted to our repo, we'll pay those bounties out. So I guess first and foremost to our listeners that maybe want to have a lot of Ethereum knowledge and don't really know how to use it, look out for our bounties. And second, Kevin, we'll definitely be using your platform for that. So I want to talk a bit about kind of the future for you. I know you didn't do an ICO, and kind of with that said, I guess first, was it ever kind of tempting to do, and how are you currently funded, or how do you plan to monetize the platform going forward?
Oh yeah, I remember in 2017 bootstrapping the platform and talking to Piper Merriam, who's at the Ethereum Foundation now, about what our ICO could look like, and I think he walked me off the plank. So I don't know if I've publicly given him credit for that before, but that'll be maybe my big reveal for Intu. So we didn't do an ICO, and I think that cooler heads prevailed after those conversations and. Have been funded by Joe Lubin, and he sees us as a way to develop the Ethereum ecosystem, to increase adoption of Ethereum, and just to accelerate the important projects in his portfolio. So that was sort of his investment thesis behind Gitcoin, and it's definitely played out super well that we basically... You know, we've had some competitors that have launched with an ICO, and you just go in their Telegram channel, and it's all just people yelling at them because their tokens are down 99%. And I think that one of the key things that Gitcoin was able to do with its contrarian bet of not doing an ICO in 2017 was that we were able to focus on adoption. We were able to focus on our core product, not on the regulatory complexities of launching an ICO and not on our Telegram users or anything like that. And so that was a... It allowed us to focus a lot on just producing value for our core persona in our user base, which was the people who actually needed to distribute software development tasks. Now, that being said, I wouldn't rule out us doing some sort of token-based project in the future. And I think that there is a place for crypto economics in the future of Gitcoin. Quite possibly, but like the key line in the sand that we drew was that we weren't going to do an ICO before there was a product and before there was a community back in 2017. And I think that that bet paid off. It paid off in spades.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, it's important to show you can actually build a product and get it out there, right? What you guys have done. And from there, you can figure out monetization. I think that's of the most of the guests I've talked to who have built a product, that's the path they've gone. And I think they've set themselves up in a lot better situation than like you said, if you would have done an ICO before a product.
Yeah, for sure. It also just sends a signal that the founders are in it for the right reason. You know, as opposed to going for the cash grab, you're going for it to create an impact. And I think that that doesn't preclude a project like Gitcoin from making money and maybe a lot of it one day, but it certainly shows that we're in it to be serious about creating an impact in the Ethereum ecosystem first. And if we're successful, then profits and money will come as a second order effect.
So I want to shift a little bit from kind of your bounties product, which kind of started Gitcoin, I guess I would put it, to your grants program, which you launched recently. I'll just be upfront. It's one of my favorite products in the entire ecosystem right now. I think it's filling a very important void. I've been pretty active on it myself and kind of helping get the word out there. For those that maybe haven't used it yet, although we've talked about it a lot on Into the Ether, so most probably have, but if they haven't, can you kind of walk us through exactly what Gitcoin Grants is?
Yeah, for sure. So Gitcoin Grants is a decentralized Patreon alternative for funding open source infrastructure. And so just to unpack that a little bit, what we are is a application where you as someone who runs a project that contributes to open source or Ethereum 2.0 can basically list your projects and solicit funds from the community. And the way that works is that you just create a little profile page for your project and put up your Ether address and you set a funding goal. And then basically the way it works is that you can pass around that profile page to different members of your community that want to see your project sustainably funded. Remember, Gitcoin's mission is to grow and sustain open source software. And your community can help fund your project with either a one-time contribution or a recurring contribution. So a pretty common use case is to submit 10 DAI per month to a project that you want to see be sustainable. And it's that recurring donation that we think is really going to be the golden egg, the goose that lays the golden egg for the ecosystem, because everyone's trying to figure out business models right now. Everyone's trying to figure out how they're going to sustain their project. No one's doing token sales. And if we can create a recurring base of support to make these projects financially stable in the Ethereum ecosystem, then it means Vitalik doesn't have to do a YOLO grant to Prismatic. It means that the community can just fund the important economic open source infrastructure that they want to see built. And that's the goal with Gitcoin Grants, is to provide a platform for people to raise funding to support their important work in open source software.
Yeah, I was really excited to see this launch. And I agree, as fun as the YOLO grants were from Vitalik, they're not long-term sustainable. So I think grants is going to fill a void in the space that's really needed. And I do truly think people, you know, Ether's obviously gone up an extraordinary amount to people that got in early. I'm sure a lot of people are looking to give back, right? And there just wasn't kind of a proper channel to do that. And now on grants, you guys are giving teams the ability, you know, to create their team pages and kind of show milestones and what they want to do. And it's cool because it definitely, it implements the EIP 1337 standard as well. So you can kind of like do a subscription donation or a one time, whatever works for you. But, you know, I know we've seen, you know, thousands of dollars in donations already, and it hasn't been that long. And you guys recently ran a matching initiative, which was kind of the CLR matching initiative. And this happened for the first couple of weeks of February. Can you kind of walk through exactly what I think some people are confused by what CLR is, and then how much in funding did you guys match?
Yeah, for sure. So we did a 25K matching campaign for the first round of matching. And basically what that is if you're the Ethereum Foundation, then you have a capital allocation problem in figuring out which projects you want to fund. And one sort of like provocative idea that's been floating around the community, Vitalik's been tweeting about it, this fellow named Glenn Weil, who wrote Radical Markets, has been talking a lot about it, is basically matching contributions from the community. So the community puts up the funds for projects that they care about, and the Ethereum Foundation or whoever Gitcoin Grants has set up as a matching partner is going to match those funds. And so that's a great way of getting your finger on the pulse of what the community cares about, and then only matching those projects. But it has a problem, and that's that the whales will always dominate the matching, because they can put in $10,000 and get a $10,000 match, whereas Joe Schmo, me and you can put in 5 DAI a month and we're only going to get matched 5 DAI a month. And so that's where CLR, which stands for Constrained Capital, Constrained Capital Liberal Radicalism, works. And so basically the way CLR matching works is that you don't just match the amount of the donations, you match the projects that have the broadest base of support first. So if project A raises $1,000 with one contribution and project B raises $1,000 with 10 contributions of $100 each, then that second project will be matched much, much more in CLR style matching. So it's basically a mathematically optimized way of contributing to projects that have the most broadest base of support. And that's what CLR is. That's what constrained capital liberal radicalism is. It's an idea that's been sort of catching fire as a theory in the blockchain community. And we were one of the first people to actually turn it into practice. And so we did a 25K matching campaign in February this year, in which we matched 25K in community donations to the top Gitcoin grants, and are planning to hopefully, we're going to announce round two sometime in the next couple of weeks. And so we're hoping to make sure that the projects that have the broadest base of support are the ones that get the most matching in round two, just like there was in round one.
Nice. Yeah, that's a really cool initiative. And I think, you know, I kind of took this idea randomly to Twitter about a week ago, and I called it the Gitcoin Torch just randomly. And I said, hey, I'll match 1,000 DAI of donations, because you guys had just kind of wrapped up your round. And I was like, hey, let's try to get this going again. I didn't really expect people to match me, to be honest, but we're up to like 6,000 DAI in matching funds and still growing by the day. So I've got a couple announcements coming up there, I think, in the next couple of weeks of how we can take that even a step further. So definitely, you know, it's really cool to kind of see the community coming together. I think, like I said, people are eager to match. They just want the right opportunity to go out there and put their funds towards something good. So I really appreciate what you guys are doing there.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun, and it's complementary to bounties in a lot of ways. I think that as your audience sees Gitcoin grow, we won't be just known as a bounties project in the future. If you decouple Gitcoin from any of its specific products, we're basically a double-sided market that connects funders to coders. And so there's a lot of different mechanisms that you can use to connect funders to coders, given the crypto economic primitives that is tokenization and Ether. And so you can expect to see a whole lot more coming out of our product suite over the next months and years as we expand our product suite.
Nice. So kind of on that point of the different products you offer, I recently saw a product on your site called CodeFund. We've actually talked about it a bit internally, potentially for using it for ETHUB, because we don't want to use traditional advertising on our site ever, just because that's not kind of our ethos. But, you know, if there was an option to dog food something that's been built in the community, and, you know, I think I'll let you talk about it, but I think kind of the effort of CodeFund is to put out, you know, ethical ads that kind of support open source. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so ethical advertising is basically a method of doing advertising where there's no tracking associated with putting cookies on a user's machine and tracking what kind of dog food they like and what kind of toilet paper they use, that kind of stuff. Ethical advertising is the basis of our product CodeFund, which is another product in our product suite which connects coders to funding. If you're seeing a theme, bounties is a way of connecting coders to funding. Grants is a way of connecting coders to funding. Ethical advertising is a way of connecting coders to funding. And basically what it is we're like an AdWords competitor that doesn't track your usage. And the way that we're able to compete while not tracking usage is that we serve a very specific audience of people who are software developers or technical in nature. And the reason why this product is important for our product suite, which again, our mission going for, back to the start, going back to first principles, our mission is to grow and sustain open source software. And the goal with CodeFund is to provide passive income to projects that are creating value in open source software. A lot of these projects have a large community and they might have 10,000 GitHub stars, but they have no business model. What are you going to do in that scenario if you want to monetize your audience? Well, you don't want to sell them out and put AdSense on your web property because then they're going to be tracked all over the place. CodeFund is an ethical advertising opportunity where you can just put a pixel on your website and you can earn passive income in exchange for the ads that are being displayed on your site. And so it's a way for software developers to support their work in open source software in a way that doesn't compromise their values. And that's where it fits into our product suite of products that are meant to grow and sustain open source.
Nice. Yeah, that's definitely something I want us to look into. I mean, just to be completely honest with everyone, right? Like ETHUB is open source, our documentation is open source. We're not monetizing it at all right now. You know, to make this kind of a sustainable business in the future, which we plan to do, we want to look into options. And this is something I think that kind of fits, in my opinion, exactly what we're offering. So I'm interested to check it out. I guess the last product I know that's on your site and one of my favorite, but also I guess one of the most simplistic is the Kudos. And I know you recently created like a badge or a Kudos for the Gitcoin Torch that I was passing around on Twitter, which is pretty awesome. Appreciate it, first of all. So basically, if you become a matcher of 1,000 DAI or more, you can get one of these Kudos. And I think there's only 99 in existence. Can you talk about Kudos and kind of, I know it's been pretty popular. People love passing around like these unique badges.
Yeah, for sure. So Kudos is a non-fungible token that you can see at gitcoin.co/kudos. And basically it's complementary to the rest of our product suite because what it does is it allows you to send a sincere compliment to show appreciation for someone that you've worked with on Gitcoin. I mean, it doesn't have to be on Gitcoin, but that's just where most of the usage is because it's integrated into Gitcoin. And basically what they are is they're these little hex badges that you can send to people. Say you did a bounty with someone who's a really great JavaScript engineer. You can send them a JavaScript Ninja Kudos that will be displayed on their Gitcoin profile and also can be managed in any wallet that supports ERC-721, which I'm sure your listeners know is the same standard that CryptoKitties pioneered, the non-fungible token standard. So basically what it is open source software development has historically been very intrinsically motivated. And with bounties, we definitely pulled it in the extrinsic motivation direction because we're giving rewards to people for doing open source contributions. And so by building a product that reminds people to show appreciation for each other, we're pushing it back towards where it came from, which is intrinsic motivation. So it shifts the motivations on the platform. Number two, we're bootstrapping Web3 reputation. So if someone has a JavaScript Ninja, good communicator, Gitcoin Torch Kudos, then that might say something about them in their Web3 address. And then the third thing that it does is it's kind of a under a stealth monetization play for us. So it's basically virtual goods. We employ an artist on staff that produces all the kudos. And in order to pay his salary, we charge 50 cents to 250 per kudos that we're sending on the platform. And that allows us to create an art, a marketplace for the art that he's creating such that we can start getting some revenue and start to monetize the platform. And the cool thing about Gitcoin is the average bounty is $270. And so if you want to throw in a little bonus to someone who's done a $270 bounty for you, then paying an extra 50 cents for a non-fungible token to show appreciation for them is really not a lot of an add-on. But in aggregate, it's enough that we were able to make some revenue off of the Kudos marketplace. So the last thing I'll say about Kudos while we're on the topic is that we're aiming to make it an open standard for reputation in Web3. And anyone who wants to tap into our inventory of 300 badges that we've built, 300 kudos that we've built, is welcome to just integrate the smart contract and instantly have 300 different badges that they can integrate on their platform. So excited to see Kudos become open kudos over the next several months and years.
Nice. That's cool. Yeah, I love them. I'm going to try and start collecting them, and the artwork's really, really cool. I suggest people go check them out. And I think I'm a big fan of combining unique collectibles with artwork on the Ethereum chain. I think it's a cool experiment. And one of my favorite kind of projects from, gosh, I guess it launched almost a year and a half ago, maybe even 2 years ago now, was CryptoPunks. And this reminds me a little bit like that, right? I mean, what you guys are doing is further than that, but creating unique NFTs that are tied to unique artwork is really cool.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun, and it sort of satisfies my urge to spend money on experimenting with brand design stuff and cool illustrations. So it's been a lot of fun to put that stuff out there. And for any of your listeners who want to earn the number one Gitcoin kudos, you just have to pledge 1,000 DAI or more in Gitcoin grants matching, and we'll send you a Gitcoin Torch kudos.
Yeah, definitely. That one's cool. I love that one. Again, appreciate you guys making that. And definitely, I would suggest people go check it out, because once you see it, you're going to want to be a matcher. I guarantee it. So I guess I'll just wrap this up with, you know, kind of stepping outside of Gitcoin for a little bit. What are kind of your favorite projects or project in the space right now that maybe people, you don't think people are talking about enough?
You know, I think that people are talking a lot about DeFi. And I think that it makes sense that when you're building an open source financial system, to think about decentralized finance and open finance, and all that stuff is really exciting to me. Intellectually, I'm learning a lot more about finance now that it's open source than I ever did in the old closed, icky Wall Street financial ecosystem. But I really think that the most underrated part of the crypto space is decentralized jobs and self-sovereign employment. So what I mean by that is, in a world that's been revolutionized by the internet, it's changed the way our politics, our media, and record industry works. And that's because all of those things are built upon the common substrate of information, which can now be sent across a computer network. And that's what the internet was. It was the ability to send information over a computer network. Blockchain allows you to do the exact same thing with the core abstraction of financial value. So the internet allows you to send information over a network. The blockchain allows you to send financial value over the internet. And so what's the scale of the amount of change that this could mean for society is just massive. I mean, just like the internet changed our media and our politics, blockchain could change everything that finance touches. And of course, there will be a new open source financial ecosystem that's built. But what I'm excited about is jobs. People spend their days at home and at work. They look at their investment portfolio, I don't know, like once a month, maybe. And so what are jobs going to look like in the new ecosystem? I've written a couple articles about a mesh network of jobs, about passive income, and how we can make sure that employees have leverage over their life circumstances in this new ecosystem. And one of the things that's interesting about Gitcoin is that it allows you to earn income from anywhere. But one of the scary things about the world that we're building is, what happens to all the shit that was bundled with jobs before, like retirement plans and healthcare and benefits and all that stuff? And so I'm really excited to see how the ecosystem for people's employment evolves over time as we move into the open source financial ecosystem. And there's this project, I'm going to actually answer your question now. There's this project called Opolis that's out of Colorado that's working on self-sovereign employment. And so basically the way that works is that you would have like a smart contract that you take with you from job to job that you just contribute to, and it manages your benefits and your retirement package and all that stuff for you. And the idea of employment being self-sovereign is something that I think has a lot of upside. And I'm hoping to partner with them such that anytime you do a Gitcoin bounty, you can contribute to your distributed 401k. And that's something that your listeners will hopefully hear from us later in 2019 or 2020.
Nice. That's cool. Yeah, I'm very bullish on that aspect too. And I agree with you. I think the DeFi open finance narrative is important because it's kind of, you know, programmable money. Of course, it's going to grow, but we need to start thinking and exploring these, obviously, all these other use cases that Ethereum enables. And I totally agree, kind of career and jobs. And I've started to see a lot of talk around like payrolls. And of course, Gitcoin enables people to become self-sufficient through bounties if they want to like work for themselves and things like that. So I think those building blocks are coming together. And I agree, it's a fun topic to explore.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep. Well, Kevin, I've really enjoyed the conversation. I love the products you're building. So keep up the good work, and I appreciate you joining Into the Ether.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Into the Ether podcast. You can subscribe to us at podcast.ethub.io, as well as follow us on Twitter at econoar and at Zazzle0x.